Missing this.
Salah takes the shot. Mo Salah with one of the goals of the season. Unbelievable.
Then get this. The all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home. Featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis. Plus, almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are. At home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.
It's exciting times here. Exciting times for football on a Friday. Phil Egan, you're very welcome to Monday's headlines today. How are you feeling about this?
Yeah, I think we've probably picked the worst time to try and predict what's going to happen in the Premier League, given that we don't know what's gone on in the last 3 months, if players are in good condition, who's been cheating by not training when they're meant to be at home. You know, they say you can't out-train a bad diet. Like, so it's hard to know. We didn't really learn that much from the other night. One thing, obviously, you're going to see a lot of over the next few weeks is maybe with all the substitutions, games might fizzle out a little bit in the last 20 minutes. I know the City and Arsenal game was pretty much done once. I was going to say David Luiz got sent off, but it was actually pretty much done once he came on.
So what we're going to do here is we're going to go through five headlines that haven't happened yet, but are definitely going to happen yet. I want to give you credit here, Phil. I would say that I wrote these headlines if they were bad, but these headlines are actually kind of good. So we'll fess up here. Phil Egan has written all these headlines. So the first one we want to get up here, a headline that's going to appear on Monday morning, is Ole, a lot more to learn. More spelled M-O-U-R.
Yeah.
Phil, what's the story?
Okay, so I think before football was shut down, United were in great form, unbeaten in 11 in all competitions, 9 clean sheets in those. Bruno Fernandes, what a signing. Imagine what it would be like when Paul Pogba comes back and Marcus Rashford. Well, they are back, so surely United are going to be unbelievable. Now, Jose Mourinho, on the other hand, dumped out of the FA Cup, dumped out of the Champions League, no wins in 6, but he basically had no strikers. I mean, Irish fans were crying out for him to play Troy Parrott, and he got some game time in that Norwich FA Cup defeat and obviously missed his penalty. But now Harry Kane's back, Heung-Min Son is back, Steven Bergwijn is back, Moussa Sissoko is back. And obviously we know Jose's been training hard in the parks when he shouldn't have been. And everyone's thinking United are going to go to White Hart Lane and win. Jose Mourinho, he's just going to sit in, hit United on the counter-attack. After the game, he'll just say, yeah, Ollie, you know, he's a young manager, but he's got a lot to learn, you know. I've won the Premier League. How many times? He'll hold up the 3 again. And he'll say, you know, when you're managing a club like Manchester United, the pressure is on. And I'm sure Ollie will know that.
Do Manchester United not have a good record in recent months before the lockdown of coming up against a team with the quality of a Tottenham Hotspur and doing quite well?
Oh yeah, when they play the really big teams. But Mourinho was great at telling a big team that they're not a big team. So he'll basically have it in Spurs, the minds of the players tonight, that, you know, you gotta sit in, you gotta defend deep, and we'll hit United on the break. We know United are great at hitting teams on the break, but one thing that they haven't really worked out just yet is how to break teams down. Now that's maybe where Pogba and Fernandes playing together could do that. But I think this is just classic Jose Mourinho. You know, we saw the Manchester City game where, you know, they grounded out. Against Liverpool, they were unlucky not to score on that game. And they were performances which I think you might see something similar this evening. And Mourinho can justify playing like that because he'll say, well, we haven't played for 3 months. Like, what we expect in fast-flowing, attractive, attacking football? No, we got to win because we're 4 points behind United. We win this and we're back in it. And as things stand, fifth place is good enough for Champions League because the City's European ban. So if Spurs win, they're definitely back in. If United beat them, that's the end of Spurs in terms of trying to finish in the top five.
How are United going to line up tonight, in your opinion? If you had the cards at your disposal, which way would you play them?
You're obviously going to have Rashford. Martial's going to play Bruno Fernandes. I don't know. Will he start Paul Pogba? I'm not sure if he will. And who's going to be the midfielder that does, like, that dynamic midfielder where, you know, Fred was starting to get some form together. McTominay obviously scored that goal against Manchester City as well. So do you play Fred or McTominay? Do you play both of them? Maybe he does go with Pogba, but regardless of what happens, if United don't win, even if Pogba doesn't play, he'll get blamed. We know that.
Graham Souness will be pointing the finger at Paul Pogba. But he wasn't playing, Graham. Doesn't matter. Still didn't do his stuff.
Why wasn't he playing?
So, but okay, just, we're going to have to press you on this. If you had to actually select it now, like if you had to hit the pick with your head, like what situation are you going with? Obviously, Bruno Fernandes starts. You're saying Martial and Rashford start. So is that Fernandes in behind a two up front? Is it a three up front with Daniel James and then two sitting behind Bruno Fernandes, one of which could be Scott McTominay, the other could be Fred, or it could be Pogba plus one of the other two? Or like if you really had to put your neck on the line.
Yeah, here, like the 4-2-3-1 looks like the formation you want to pick. So then that would allow you to play Pogba plus one. So whether it's McTominay or Fred, Matic obviously had started to play pretty well as well, but you got to go Pogba plus one. Then you play Bruno Fernandes in behind. You have Rashford on the left. You've got that position up for grabs on the right, whether you want to play Daniel James, and then obviously you play Martial up front. And that's, but what we have seen with United in certain games as well this season, that Solskjaer wasn't afraid to go with three at the back, which, you know, turned into, sometimes can turn into five at the back. So that obviously, you know, gives you a bit more solidity in terms of defensive shape. But I'd imagine he'll try and go 4-2-3-1. And then, you know, that's where you can bring Fernandes and Pogba into the same team.
So, Ole, a lot more to learn. That is going to be the headline we're going to see on Monday morning. The second headline we're going to see on Monday morning is a simple one here. Liverpool, too good for Everton, Phil.
Yeah, so I think, obviously, Liverpool had lost four of their six games before the break. And there was people saying they were tired. But they actually played unbelievably well against Atletico Madrid. And you know, I still believe if Alisson was playing in goal that night, Liverpool would be still in the Champions League. But that's done now. I can imagine over the last few weeks, Jurgen Klopp has basically lined things up that Liverpool will be ready to hit the ground running. Because unlike, say, someone like Manchester City, who will have their eyes on the Champions League, this mini tournament in August, Liverpool don't have that. Liverpool just want to hit the ground running, get the job done, two more wins, and they're champions. We know they have a great record against Everton. They haven't lost to Everton since 2010. So you're looking at a decade there. And, you know, the headline could be too good, T spelt with two O's, or if Liverpool win 2-0, you can put in a W-O to substitute it there. But, yeah, I think Liverpool will get the job done. And I think of all the big teams returning, I think I'm expecting Liverpool to be the sharpest of them all.
You're an excellent sub-editor, Phil. A great array of options there for anybody listening in who might be putting together a newspaper on Monday morning. You also want to talk about the big viewing opportunity here, the big entertainment prospect that comes with, let's say, a rogue microphone that might be hanging close to the referee.
Yeah, well, obviously, you have the option of watching with crowd noise or without. So I personally go for crowd noise, but if you do go without crowd noise, you can pick up what the players and the referee is saying. So who's the referee? Mike Dean. Only the second time he's ever refereed a Merseyside derby. The first actually being the meeting at Anfield earlier this season, because obviously he's local. We know he's a Tranmere fan, but he's got to do this. And Mike Dean, you know, what people seem to forget is while all these footballers were in isolation, so was Mike Dean. Mike Dean is back. He's back this weekend. He's got the Merseyside derby. And, you know, he doesn't like people giving him, putting it up to him. So he is going to be definitely enforcing social distancing. He will not harangue Mike Dean. If you do, he'll tell you where to go, and maybe we'll pick up a few sound bites of what it's like to be refereed by Mike Dean.
I would watch a comprehensive reality TV show based on the life of Mike Dean. Just the makers of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, just take that production team, move them to Tranmere, and just focus it on Mike Dean and Mike Dean alone.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people would watch that. You know, didn't he hand out his 100th red card last season? And I honestly thought if they made a DVD of the 100 red cards he gave, I would probably buy it. I would probably buy it.
Is this a situation, Phil, just one last thing on Liverpool here, where if they wrap things up, what is it, Wednesday night, you know, get revenge for Chris Dan Bull and all that, and beating Palace to win the league might even be more pleasurable than Everton. Is it a situation where Liverpool then take the foot off the gas and start looking towards next season already, or are they looking for this points record?
Yeah, I'd say the way the fixtures have worked out, they obviously still have to play Chelsea, they have to play Arsenal, but the games that they have coming up are, and obviously they have to play Manchester City, but you know, watch Manchester City the other night. If you're Jurgen Klopp, you wouldn't have seen anything that would strike much fear into you. And I said, I think Liverpool will definitely try and finish the season strongly. So if they do get it wrapped up on Wednesday, I think the fact that they can't really celebrate it in the way that they might if it was under normal circumstances. So say, for example, they beat Everton on Sunday and then they beat Crystal Palace next week. If there was a full house at Anfield there, obviously there's a huge party, you know, that spills into Thursday morning, and then you don't know how Liverpool will finish the season out. Maybe they've a few off games or he rotates players. But because of the nature of things and the games are coming thick and fast, and you know, we don't have that ability to be able to socialise. I mean, you can have a small party or whatever, but you know, obviously social distancing and all that, I'd imagine it's just very much get the job done and let's see how many points they can accumulate. So they still have 27 points to go, and they've 109 points is the maximum they can get. So they've a little bit of wiggle room to beat that Manchester City record of 100. So I think that's what they're going for.
Mm-hmm. Headline number three this morning, sorry, on Monday morning, is no joy for Moyes, even without the noise. Great rhyming headline there, Phil. Fair play. What does this mean?
Well, David Moyes, obviously West Ham playing Wolves, and West Ham, you know, Karen Brady was one of the first to kind of talk about null and voiding the season, and I think a lot of people, you know, thought that she had West Ham's interests at heart here. So, you know, some people would think, wouldn't it be ironic if West Ham went down? But they play Wolves, then they've got games against Spurs and Chelsea. So the pressure is on West Ham, and I think this is going to be the game where, obviously, there was a few jokes the other night about Manchester City and how, you know, the atmosphere at the Etihad hadn't changed because, you know, usually it's not full anyway. I think it's going to be even more so the case of people poking fun at the London Stadium tomorrow when they play Wolves. And we know the atmosphere is nowhere near as good there as it was in Upton Park. We know they've had issues there. But one thing that happened when David Moyes was reappointed West Ham manager, it wasn't exactly, you know, he wasn't welcomed back with open arms by the West Ham fans. So, you know, maybe some people might think without fans there, it might take a little bit of pressure off them, but I still think the fact that West Ham are playing Wolves, it's going to be a tough game. Wolves are definitely in with a shout of being one of those clubs that could finish in the Champions League places. So this is not an easy one. And I said, if West Ham lose this, then they start looking at those games against Spurs and Chelsea, and you know they're running out of games. They're only above the relegation zone on goal difference.
Are they going down?
I don't know. It's hard to know. So, I think Norwich are gone. I think Norwich are gone. I would worry about Bournemouth. I wasn't overly impressed by Villa the other night. So, you know, you're kind of looking at West Ham, Watford, Brighton are still not safe either. So someone's going to go that you wouldn't have maybe picked at the start of the season, although we do tend to pick Bournemouth at the start of every season and they always get out of it. But maybe they mightn't get out of it this season.
Headline four is Chris still cross with Hawkeye despite taking out Magpies. That is your how long did that one take?
Not that long. Now I was trying to think of something. And obviously, my Chris Cross reference and a claim to fame is I've actually seen Chris Cross live in concert.
Oh, that yeah. is a claim to fame.
I know they supported Michael Jackson in Land's End Road in 1992. They came on and they they made us jump. That's all I can say. But I think if a couple of things could happen. Obviously, Sheffield United were denied that goal by Hawkeye against Villa. So I think if Sheffield United score now, they don't score enough goals for a team that had a chance to go fifth the other night. It's incredible. But the reason they're doing so well is because defensively they don't concede goals. They're the second best defence in the league. But if they do score, I can imagine the celebration. There's a few options for celebrations. Obviously, I think we're going to see a lot of players maybe take a kneel, or they're going to have messages on their T-shirts. But maybe some Sheffield United player might see the funny side of what happened the other night and point to their imaginary watch to make sure that the goal is given. But you can imagine if they win the game, Chris Wilder is asked after it, so, you know, good win for you, Chris. Just think you'd have another 2 points for the other night. And he's like, yeah, it was great to get the win, but I still haven't gotten over what happened the other night.
Do we think that there could be more technological failures? Like, we're obviously going to be chatting about VAR at some point this weekend. Do we think that there could be another massive cock-up? I mean, technology shouldn't respond in any way to pressure, but sometimes these things can be like waiting for buses. That there can be a couple of these incidents in the cluster.
No, absolutely. Something could happen. Like, Villa get a goal and it's awarded using goal line technology. Something mad like that could happen. For all we know, Sheffield United could be involved in another incident like that. And, you know, it's obviously the Steve Bruce derby. I remember he used to manage Sheffield United. Wasn't he the manager of Sheffield United when they played Arsenal, and the unsporting, you're meant to throw the ball back? Wasn't it Canu that scored that goal where they were throwing the ball back? It was a cup tie. So, yeah, something strange could happen. But, yeah, VAR is always in the headlines. So I'd imagine the reason I didn't go out for a Monday headline was because so many games over the weekend, you know, you'd need a crystal ball to know where VAR is going to strike.
Well, my technological prediction, before I get into your last headline, my technological prediction for the weekend is that we are going to have some obscenities involved. Now, I don't know how this is going to be. Like, we had at a moment in Manchester City against Arsenal where Martin Tyler apologised on behalf of Kevin De Bruyne, which didn't really make any sense. I don't think we could hear what was actually said from Kevin De Bruyne. It will happen this weekend where something ridiculous or something obscene is picked up vocally. But I'm also hopeful that we are going to see some obscenities from those Zoom chats that are going on behind the goals. I mean, the Manchester City supporters were very well behaved at the Etihad the last night. I think I've got greater faith in football fans to get to the level, to get to the bar that South Korea set with their blow-up dolls in the crowd. I'm expecting us to get to that level via Zoom where somebody makes an obscene gesture or something like that and it's picked up a match of the day. That is my hope for this weekend, and I'm pretty confident it's going to happen. And if it can all combine into one where you have a bit of controversy, where you have Mike Dean slagging somebody off, then it will be all the better, and we can finally get Mike Dean that reality TV show. Right, so headline number five.
Yeah, so, you know,
Vardy, no silent assassin.
No silent assassin. So Vardy is one goal shy of 100 Premier League goals. It's been an incredible Premier League career for him, considering he came to it so late. Now, one thing I have always noticed with Jamie Vardy, the more abuse you give Jamie Vardy, the better he seems to play. And that means when he goes away from home, he gets dog's abuse from away fans. You think back to even the whole incident between Rebecca Vardy and Colleen Rooney. And what did Vardy do? He went on a scoring streak, almost despite everyone. You think, yeah, you can slag me off, you can slag off people in my family, well, I'm going to shut you up by scoring goals. So I wonder, without that needle, what effect that'll have on him. There's a few things to think of with the new way football is at the moment. Even we were talking about the Merseyside derby. Jurgen Klopp hugs players. He can't do that anymore. Like, when he's making his substitutions and you've put in a shift, Jurgen usually gives you a hug. And I mean, one thing people have missed a lot over the last few weeks is hugs. And if you're not getting a Klopp hug, maybe it won't have the same effect. So I'm wondering, the silence, what kind of effect that will have on Jamie Vardy.
That's it. You've basically discovered the reason why Liverpool's title challenge is going to crumble. A lack of Klopp hugs. That is going to be the thing that crashes this whole house of cards. Just to wrap up then, the five headlines that we're going to see, 100% can't be wrong with this on a Monday morning from Phil Egan. Ole, a lot more to learn. Liverpool, too good for Everton. No joy for Moyes, even without the noise. Chris still across with Hawkeye, despite taking out Magpies. Bit of a tongue twister, that one. And Vardy, no silent assassin. Phil Egan, good stuff. Thanks a million. Enjoy the football.
Missing this?
This is the dream. Shohi on Fringlord. Whether you're from Cushendall in Antrim or Mount Sinai in Waterford, this is what it's all about.
And get this. The all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home. Featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.